You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
We're talking about the use of the performing arts to motivate young people into positive behavior. We've been talking to C. Brian Williams, founder of Step Africa, and we're also joined by Omar Jawar, founder and executive director of Visions Regeneration of Dallas, Texas. We want to continue this discussion. You've been saying that the young people are desperately looking for inspiration, but who are the adults? I know in Omar you have two people who are ex-gang members who once their character changes, their characteristic has an advantage. But not all of them are ex-gang members. How do you how do you blend these two? Tell me some of the people who are around you, both of you. Give me an idea of the kind of people you have around you.
Well, we have what we call urban specialists, mm-hmm. People who are very familiar with the terrain of mm-hmm. urban America and some of the violence and some of the nuances that we've been talking about. And so we have those guys around us. So some of them, yeah, one guy started the Bloods in Dallas. Another guy mm-hmm. started the Crips in Dallas. Some guys are college grads. Some folks are just have an instinctive understanding of this. But the common idea is that they are not afraid of this environment, and they can tell the kids where the landmines are before they step on it and blow themselves up. So they say, grab hold of me and walk this way. And so they can lead them through a very rough area. So that gives the young person a feeling of security, and they know that the quality of this relationship is not blind faith, but they can actualize what this guy is saying because they say, you know what I'm dealing with. And I love a statement that you say, Bob. You say that they mentor, and the mentor has a cultural zip code. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have. We have a cultural zip code and a transactional mentoring idea. And I think that you pin that right.
Yeah, and I think what I have found that traditional mentoring program, and I don't want to discourage it or disparage it, but it has its place for certain kids. But for the kind of kids who represent the 10% who are in these communities, who are really creating 90% of the problems, the kids most at risk, or as some people say, most at promise, mm-hmm. they require something more than a meeting with a mentor once a week. They require something beyond a trip to the circus by well-meaning people.
Yeah.
The kind of mentorship they require, I call it three-dimensional. It requires someone that has made a lifetime commitment to them, mm-hmm. not time after the 18th hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They have people who are available to them when the children need them, which means that they have their cell numbers and their home phone numbers. Yeah. And and they are available 24/7. So if a child gets home and all of the furniture's out in the street because their family's been evicted, that child has someone they can call. The third dimension of it is that the goal is to establish the child either as a child, as a brother, as a sister. The goal is to be a friend to the child. Mm-hmm. Whereas a paid professional, and I have been that, by professional practice, we are prohibited and discouraged from being a friend to those who are clients.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It violates the professional code of conduct to consider someone you are, quote, treating to be a friend. But a friend, a parent, a brother, a sister is precisely what these kids need in their lives. And so that's the kind of three-dimensional aspect of the kind of mentoring I hear you all describing.
Yeah, and I really enjoy your focus, Ms. Woodson, on uplifting community leaders. You know, I think it kind of goes with what we've been talking about, creating new celebrities, but empowering those people in the community who are making it happen. And as long as this is something that you've taught me as well, that the people who are uplifted to be the quote the leader or the quote unquote celebrity recognize that they are first and foremost servants.
Yeah.
So therefore, it becomes a win-win. You are raising up, in a sense, servants who will continue to serve and raise up. So it's a very cycle, a nice cycle we're trying to create between the quote-unquote leader, servant leaders, and the community that we're trying to uplift, in a sense.
But, you know, also there is an age bias here, too. A lot of people who are older don't seem to believe that they've got much to learn from people who are much younger.
Yeah.
And so we just, I know that there are, when I worked at the juvenile jail early in my career, and I was, I guess, right out of the military, I was about 22, 23 years old, there were some 15-year-olds that had more social experiences than I had. I mean, they had women on the street. They had, they just lived, they were three times my age.
Right.
Their social experience was three times my chronological age.
Yeah.
And so we kind of discount that, but what I hear from both of you with your extensive experience, that you still have eyes and ears and hearts open to hear what the young people are communicating to you about what they need.
Yes.
And you are constructing remedies that speaks to what you hear.
Exactly. I mean, you asked about our summer camp earlier. I think South Africa recognizes its role as a nonprofit, of course, as a public servant. So although we may have some ideas about what we want to do, the best ideas we get are those ideas that come from the people we serve. So our summer camp really came as a result of teachers saying, we got to have more of this. Our popular Step Up to College residency, where we go into school for a week and teach them how to step and go on a field trip to a college campus and then learn about all those things that tie stepping to academic achievement in college. That came from a teacher saying, or parents saying, we want more than just an in-school performance. Can we go beyond that? So we respond to the demand, and I can clearly see that in your work, Ron. It's a response to what the communities need. And when you say stay responsive, it helps you be successful.
Yes, I'm in total agreement. I mean, the last thing that we can do as a community is to assume that their appetites are so full of junk that they can't respect good food, you know. And when it's served right, they respond and they want more of it. So yeah, and I have seen that many people who are youth workers and youth advocates, and this is gonna sound very funny, but they don't even like young people. You know. they are so bitter, man, at young people. They can say they are not rich. So of course they can't learn from them.
Yeah.
They're hoping to do their tour of duty and get out without getting hurt, you know.
I'm laughing because one young man, when I asked him what distinguishes some of the professional providers from a grassroots leaders, they said, well, the grassroots leaders get out of their car.
Exactly.
And they walk over to us and they sit with us and they interact with us and they're present with us every night and they're not afraid of us.
Right.
And that's the other thing that I took up.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, I wish that all artists, I mean, for South Africa, we love performing at like these great, amazing venues at the Kennedy Center and the Lincoln Center in New York. That's awesome. But we just did a show around the corner on H Street at the Delta Towers, which is a senior home. And it was in their fellowship hall. And they laid down a couple of wooden planks for us to perform on. And I was just as excited about that performance as I am about any other show, because
it's also great to serve the community that may not get a chance to go to those shows or may not even make that a part of their day or a week or a year.
Yeah.
Take the art directly to the people where they are. And that's how you really reach and connect.
Right. I mean, the beauty of art to me is the value that it places on the recipient,
mm-hmm.
not just on the person that's giving it. See, mm-hmm. I was training some people about dealing with young folks, and I said, always keep the focus on the person that you're serving,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so to see the light in their eyes, to see the glint, just to see them still excited,
yes.
I stay excited. Because yes. you can get bitter and burnt out and worn out trying to do this and trying to find fire amongst cold stones. But young people are still fired up. So that's the only thing that keeps you really excited.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, man, just on a very personal note, Bob is really like that.
Yes.
That's one of the qualities that makes you very unique, Bob, is that you still seem to light up at the stories of these kids, at the trials and you believe in it, you know, it becomes organic. It becomes a part of you.
Well, and it's right. And, you know, I was just reflecting on today. I did a show when we were talking about Tiger Woods and his plight.
Mm-hmm.
And what I said I found so interesting about that is that people mistake celebrity for success.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to understand that success as they are defining it is much more taxing than anything, but it's too bad that people define that they believe that success and material wealth
yeah.
gives you a license to do whatever you want to do. And the question is, without discipline or without understanding, and there's a part of me that feels sorry for him and his wife because, and what is her response to it?
Yeah.
It was almost as bad as his. She now has in her bank account $300 million as a part of where she's modified her prenuptial agreement. Well, what does that, how is that a valid response to what he did?
Right, right. I mean, you're
But
right.
it is the first thing that was reported on.
Yes.
And when you hear all the other celebrities, Whitney Houston, Janet Jackson, Michael Jackson, if secular success and material success were all that is advertised, then why are not these people happy? I have never heard of a person who is happy commit suicide.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've heard of a lot of successful people commit suicide.
That's right, Bob, man. That's accurate, man. And not only that, you don't just have people who think they're successful. These young people, they relearn the value of grandmama's hug, of just having a good day and a good laugh and a good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes a lot more important than some 22s and all that. See, when you get down to it, but they don't know that yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until they start seeing, say, man, Michael Jackson had everything, bro, but he couldn't have no sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care what you got. If you can't sleep, it don't mean nothing. So this is what they are, you know, really seeing when it comes down to it. And so that's why I like what you said, Brian, earlier, that we need different celebrities
mm-hmm.
so that the celebrity is not about how much I got. It's
yeah.
how much I am.
Yeah.
You know, it was a book I was reading, and the lady told a girl that she was talking about, why do you love me like this, and why, because the girl was a prostitute. And, but
mm-hmm.
she said, I cannot wait till you understand that your hug is more important to me than your problem.
Mm-hmm.
Just hugging you mm-hmm. makes me feel better. You just don't know how valuable you are.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff is a lost conversation, but it's a true conversation.
Well, we want to thank you very much, gentlemen, for your insight and how you're bringing solutions to the growing problems of youth violence and the alienation by using the performing arts and penetrating the youth culture. Our guests today have been C. Brian Williams, founder of Step Africa, headquartered here in Washington, D.C., and Omar Jawa, founder and executive director of Vision Regeneration of Dallas, Texas. I'm Bob Woodson, president at the Center for Enabled Enterprise. Please join us again next week at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for more solutions to the problem facing our society. To listen to the show and to access past programs, you can go to cneonline.org and click on the radio icon. That's www.cneonline.org and click on the radio icon. If you would like to comment on the show or send us some story ideas, please email us at bwoodsonshow@cneonline.org. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you will be with us next week on the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why.
You've been listening to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, insights and solutions to some of America's most troubling societal problems, featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr. To learn more, visit cneonline.org. And join us next time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, right here on TalkZone.com.